Author Johnny Teague writes, George Washington kept a diary throughout his life except during the war years. When he resumed his diary in May of 1781, his first entry expressed his regret that he had not kept a diary during those crucial years in the fight for the nation's independence. To this end, I have researched General Washington's writings, letters, and orders, as well as the recollection of others, end quote. Now, Johnny Teague, who wrote those words, is a pastor and the author of a book called The Lost Diary of Anne Frank. We actually spoke with him about that a couple months ago, which he describes as an historical novel, and he has now put together this new book called The Diary of George Washington. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Johnny Teague joins us again on the radio. Johnny, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, sir. It's an honor to be with you and your great audience.
Okay, so first of all, there are plenty of books written about George Washington, and many of them, I think, try to bear the true witness. You know, some of them, the secular ones, leave out the God part, and I don't think that's accurate in terms of his own life and in terms of my own research and so forth. But now comes this book, which, by your own admission, you know, you can't fully verify for everything, but explain why you thought this was, you know, an important point to put together, number one, and then also why you feel that basically this is still accurate. This reflects the real thinking and teaching and ideas of George Washington.
But thank you for asking. And you were right when you were doing your introduction. George Washington had kept a copious diary up until the American Revolution, and then he restarted it at Yorktown. And like you shared with your audience, his first entry was a great regret that he had not kept that diary throughout the war. And that kind of gave me some questions about, you know, how would he put that together with all that he faced? And so I began to research all of his writings, all of his letters, all of his correspondence, all of his orders. And when you look at the history of the American Revolution with General George Washington, you find out about the events, you find out about some of the background of the events, but you really don't get into General Washington's perspective in the American Revolution. And so going through his writings, an ancient historian, not ancient, but an old time historian, Jared Sparks, gathered his writings. And then I went to the campsites and the war sites, and I gathered all the information that I could. And what was very telling as I did this research, and I've read so many of the books on the American Revolution and General Washington, we lose track of the opposition that Washington faced, so many betrayals of close friends. So many times Congress wanted to remove him from that position. Oftentimes, well, the majority of the war, he never had the troops he needed, never had the ammunition and the powder he needed. And there was a personal side of General Washington that every one of us needs to relate to. And that is that when we're engaging on a great purpose, we're going to be hurt. It's going to be emotional. There are going to be times we want to give up. And all of that is depicted in Washington's writings, but no one is ever focused on the emotional desperation of General Washington. And that's where his faith and his resolve is really what brought us the freedom that we have.
Well, I know, for example, that prior to the victory at Trenton on Christmas, 1776, that's what it was, 1776, prior to that, he even wrote to his brother, I believe it was, and he said something like, the jig is up. I mean, if things don't turn around, I don't see how I can keep going with this, and I don't see how we can remain a free country. And we know, of course, if George Washington were captured by the British and so forth, he likely would have been hanged as a traitor. But comment on that, if you would. The victory at Trenton, it was much more of a moral victory, or, you know, it wasn't really, oh, this is a strategic, place that he captured. No, it was just much more of a, you know, a thing that helped rally, you know, get more troops there for him and so forth. But comment on that, because that's a big deal.
It is, and I appreciate so much your love of history, and I appreciate specifically your love of General and President Washington. And you're so right, Mr. Newcomb. The big deal about Trenton really wasn't a great victory, but what it did was it broke a string of defeats. And even though some would say, you know, it was a victory, others would say, you know, can you really call that a victory? Well, it wasn't a defeat. And it showed Washington, it showed those who were following him that, hey, we can have success. And hey, General Washington does have some competence. And I think that's probably about all it did. It did keep, you know, he was constantly having men leave the army. He always struggled with these, militia who would come and go at will, who wouldn't follow orders. Those who became soldiers in the war, they were itching for fights. They were itching for battles, but most of the times they were in retreat. And if you're retreating all the time or getting your nose bloodied every time you come against the greatest army in the world at that time, you lose the motivation to stay in the fight. And a lot of people don't realize that the Tories and those who were against our freedom from Britain really outnumbered those who were for it, at least with regard to sentiment and the ability to contribute. So, yes, sir, Trenton was important. It wasn't the most important, but it was it's what kept everyone engaged. And I love you quoting Washington. Many may not realize you're actually quoting him, but he did write his brother saying, the jig is about up. And so these are things we must understand when we look at a guy like Washington and how our freedoms hung in the balance.
Comment on George Washington's faith and how his trust in God bolstered him through such difficult circumstances.
My goodness, when you read his letters, you know, The Lost Diary of George Washington, which is what I wrote, it is really a biographical detail of the American Revolution, but it is written in first person because we're trying to fill that gap of the Washington feelings, the Washington emotions through it all. But Washington, when you read his writings, he is constantly he's constantly referring to providence. He's constantly referring to the author of truth, the author of liberty. He was constant in believing that if we follow God, if we're true to him, we can win this. But he also held the opposite, going to Deuteronomy 28. If we don't follow God, if we let prostitution into our camp, if we let gambling into our camp, if we raid the area of villages for the things we need and literally neglect the citizenship, God won't bless us. He won't honor us. And we find him constantly, even the thing that really drove home his faith, of course, his praying at Morristown, his praying and seeking God at Monmouth, his walk with God at Valley Forge as he was trying to pull things together, his calls for fasting amongst the troops, his calls for all officers to remember the Sabbath day and to attend chapel. We see it in every aspect of Washington's life. And it wasn't just his belief, it was how he lived. And I earnestly believe the success of our country came down to Washington's walk with the living God and his appreciation for the Savior who has died for all our sins.
How about a quick comment about two Frenchmen that he appreciated, two marquises that show up in the Lost Diary of George Washington?
You know, a lot of these Frenchmen were coming into the American Revolution from overseas. They saw a chance for fame. They saw a chance for a title. They saw a chance for a financial reward, and they They even saw opportunity to be a landowner. And so Washington struggled greatly with these Frenchmen, or any foreigner for that matter, who would come and engage in this revolution. Most of them came in wanting a rank. They wanted a command immediately. And as Benjamin Franklin was overseas trying to work these foreign treaties and gain foreign support, Franklin often would make promises that, and he'd send someone across like Lafayette and hey, you're going to get a command. Hey, report to General Washington. And Congress would just rubber stamp it. And then Washington was struggling greatly with people who were not really invested in our success. And a lot of these Frenchmen who came across, we loved that they wanted to help. In fact, the French were instrumental at Yorktown in specific, but there was a language barrier. The vast majority didn't speak English. The Frenchmen also had not won the respect of the men on the battlefield. They just show up one day. And so Washington had a huge battle with that. And then comes the exceptions to the rule. And there was probably about five that were men that he saw, you know, hey, Lafayette was willing to serve after Washington put him off and said, you're not going to command. Finally, Lafayette surrendered, submitted to Washington's authority, and he was willing to serve. And then he gained the support of his men, and he had to fill in a couple of times when there wasn't a good leader there. And so he did grow to appreciate these guys, just like Baron von Steuben. He came across and at Valley Forge, our men's training was horrific, and he had language barrier, but he came and he earned the respect of our men and our general. And I think Washington teaches us in his letters and his orders and in this Lost Diary of George Washington, he teaches us that respect is something you earn. Authority is something you earn. And once you earn it, then you're able to fulfill that role. But until you earn it, nothing should be given.
All right. We're
always dealing with people being upset because they felt others were taken over. Forgive me for interrupting.
No. I interrupted you. We have a minute and a half left, and there's a couple of areas I wanted to see if we could have you mentioned betrayal. So how about a comment on that? And then also, I think we should address financial needs, that he was constantly doing the best he could with very limited resources. So we really only have about a minute and a half left. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. His closest confidant at once upon a time was Joseph Reed. And he depended on General Lee. He depended on other great generals who had come in with him. And every one of them seemed to be out for themselves. And his greatest betrayal we know about, Benedict Arnold. And George Washington, Benedict Arnold's biggest fan was General George Washington. General Lee's biggest fan was George Washington. But each one got inebriated by success. And then they began to serve not the country, but themselves. And when Washington would call them back in to, hey, remember, we're here for America's freedom, not for our own benefit, that's when they would turn on them. And there are at least six counts of betrayal of Washington in the Lost Diary of George Washington that is historically documented. Even his own lifeguard, one of his members, tried to have him assassinated in New York.
Oh, my goodness. We're basically out of time, but I have enough time for you to give your website for this particular book and the name of the book again.
Well, thank you so much again. It's The Lost Diary of George Washington, The Revolutionary War Years. And you can go to historyofbooks.com. That's the best way to go. Okay. HISTRIA books.com or even Amazon.
Okay.
And we're getting great reviews.
All right. Thank you very much, Johnny Teague, The Lost Diary of George Washington. All the best.